The following podcast may contain mature themes and coarse language. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the No Fear Friday edition of the No Fear Project podcast. I'm your host, Pete D'Amico. Today is a little bit different of an interview. We are joined by Dava Sylvia. If her name is familiar, it is because she's a producer of the No Fear Project. What makes it different is that Dava has come on to talk about a more common everyday fear, aviophobia, the fear of flying. But, as you might suspect, our talk becomes so much more. I enjoyed this chat, and think you will too. We'll hear from Dava right after this quick word from our sponsor, Silver Fox Athletics. If you are anything like me, you have big goals. I really wanted to become a better runner, and you guessed it, fear was stopping me. I needed a running coach. Enter Coach Andy and Silver Fox Athletics. I started working with Coach Andy, and he produced the perfect customized training plan. His plan and support were just what I needed. The fear started melting away instantly. I ended up with a shiny new personal record in the half marathon and even conquered my biggest running fear of all, the 26.2-mile marathon. Coach Andy specializes in those middle and back-of-the-pack runners like me, and even those that have never run much. Get more information about Silver Fox Athletics at silverfoxathletics.org. Also, follow Silver Fox Athletics on Instagram. While you are there, click book to get your free initial consultation with Coach Andy. Make sure to tell him you heard about Silver Fox on the No Fear Project. And we are back with our interview with our special guest, Dava Sylvia, a producer of this program. Welcome to the No Fear Project.
Thank you. I'm proud to be a producer. So here I am. I'm Dava. I'm 60. I'm from the Boston area. Had a kind of troubled teen growing up kind of life. If we're going into my future, I mean my past.
Yeah, that's great.
Kind of got a rocky start in life, but tried to learn from others, and I think that's what got me on the path to where I am now. What else?
Was there anything in particular that, you know, helped you to pivot if things weren't going the way that you wanted them to or not the way that you thought life should go? Is there anything that made it pivot?
You know, it's funny. And I think this is part of the resilience I grew up with, is that always knowing nothing and absolutely nothing is written in stone. Anything can change. And I never felt like I was doomed to be a certain way. I mean, for a long time, I was a certain way. I was very unpleasant. and then I started to see that wasn't getting me anywhere. It took me a long time. It took me 31 years to graduate from college, but I did it. And, you know, you just keep moving forward. That was always like, I'm not trapped, you know, I never felt like, you know, I'm not trapped. I can get out of any situation if I have to. I can find a way out or I can make it better. And yeah, I had the most amazing year last year, and it started when I got laid off from my job.
Oh, well, see, now that these are the stories that I love. So tell us kind of what happened there.
Well, actually, it didn't start with that. It started with me getting over my fear of flying.
Oh, there we go. All right. Perfect.
Yeah. I worked with a lot of women who, they They're really great people, and they love life, and they go places, and they do things. And I said, I want to be like them. You know, I want to be able to say, hey, you know, I went to Florida, and I did this, and, you know, things like that, because I have relatives in Florida I hadn't seen in, you know, 5 or 6 years. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take one day off. I'm going to buy a ticket, and I'm going to fly to Philadelphia. I'm going to have a Philly cheesesteak and go to the Muter Museum, which is, it's a museum. If people aren't familiar with it, it's really great if you're into the oddities of the human body, so to speak. And, particularly, 18th, 19th century, early 19th century, surgical procedures. But at any rate, I'm getting off topic. So I said, I'm going to do this and then I'll fly home. So I did just that. I got on the plane, and this was the first time I flew in about, I think it was 16 years. I can tell you the last time I flew before then, the night before I broke out into hives, up and down my body, and had to go to the emergency room. Petrified of flying, obsessing about it all the time about, oh, I can't go there. I can't do that. I had flown to Florida a couple of times because my mother was down there, and every single time I wound up taking the bus back because I could not get back on that plane.
When did that start?
And it's always just, you know, it's weird. I never flew until I was 20, and that was my first flight to Florida. And I got on the plane, and, you know, it started to lift, and I was like, oh, this is weird. I didn't really think too much about it. I actually fell asleep because it was like a midnight flight. Landed in Florida. Remember feeling the dread of seeing the palm trees and thinking, yeah, I first saw my mother and said, well, I'll never do that again. and I really couldn't explain why. And I think a lot of that to me became the whole dread of, I don't want to be stuck with my mother in Florida. And I think that was a lot of it, but I didn't know. I wasn't sure. So, you know, flew a couple of times, actually flew to Norway and back. And usually it took 3 or 4 Xanax and a half a flask of vodka or whatever was available in the ladies' room at the airport. And then you could get me on a plane. And then I would sleep. And it was just, I felt like it was holding me back. I didn't realize how much it was holding me back until then I get laid off from my job. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go back to flying. So that flight, I won't say I conquered my fear. The fear is always there. In fact, I have this sort of like tragical meta feeling that, oh, here's the lady who talked about getting over fear or flying on a podcast, and then she's in a plane crash, you know, and I always think that way. And I call that tragical thinking. Some people talk about magical thinking, like, you know, if some people play games with their heads of, if I do this, I'll win the lottery. Or if I do this, my life is going to go right, you know, and things like that. Or if I'm really good, my parents will be really good. And I realized that what I had going on was tragical thinking. And it was any time I thought something good was about to happen or anything like that, there was always a tragedy involved. And wow, this is really deep. I'm really starting to say, hey, you know, flying had been holding you back all this time because you could have really been doing something. And now that I can't fly because of COVID, it's really frustrating.
Yeah, you just finally get on a plane and now you're grounded.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the irony. I'm sorry, I'm sort of rambling.
No, that's all right. I've got some questions. When it comes to the fear of flying, you kind of said a couple of things. One, mm-hmm. it sounds like at the beginning that you conflated mm-hmm. flying and being kind of, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but almost stuck with your mom in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like those two things became related in your mind.
Yeah, and I'm glad you turned back to that, because that's where I was going with that. Actually, the second flight after Philly, I flew to Florida and I said, if I can get over this, I can get over anything. Because I said, maybe it is Florida. Maybe it's just that whole state. No offense to anybody who lives there. then go Gators. And then I flew back and I was fine. And I felt like, this is great. I can actually see my sisters on a regular basis. Which was amazing. And it really cleared my head in so many ways. It really made me think. It was like running a half marathon, which is the longest distance I've ever run. But it was like, hey, I can do hard things. And, you know, I have the 13.1 sticker on the back of my car. And I'm like, I'm part of the gang now, you know? And so there I was part of the gang with the ladies, and they were so proud of me. And, cause they knew how scared I was. And, you know, this, like I said before, the fear is still there, but, Nicole, who is in No Fear Project, had a really good point in saying, you have to learn to talk back to those fears, because those voices will come back and they will haunt you. And you just got to be louder than them. And it's true. And as I see more and more positives with this, and tell myself that just because things are happening doesn't mean that bad things are going to happen or whatever. I can't tell the future, but I can change what I can do. I can control what I do. And that was a whole nother part of it. And I think that's the point I tried to get at, with the whole magical, tragical thinking thing, is like, I was trying to predict the future, and there's no way you can do that. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So a few more things that what you're talking about, when you live in the past, that oftentimes causes depression. When you worry about the future, that causes anxiety. And when you live in the present, it's a lot easier to overcome things like this. When you get on a so you say you haven't conquered it. So when you get on a flight now, are you worried about that crash? Are you thinking about it? What's getting to you these days?
I remember in the old days. You know, it's really weird. I love to go to airports and I love to go to hospitals. I love where people are. I love watching people and thinking about their stories, because that's all I really care about, are people's stories. So I go to an airport and it's always now, it's like, well, what is that? Where's that person going? And before I was like, does this person know they're doomed? They're on this plane with me. but, you know, and I'll still have those thoughts, and it's just a matter of, you got to shout them down. You got to say, hey, come on, you're here right now. You're fine. And I had a therapist tell me this, because yes, indeed, I have struggled with depression and anxiety. And he said, concentrate on your breathing. And that, you know, as simple as it sounds, is really very helpful, just to take that breath in and relax and hold that relaxing moment for a second. And just, even if I have to keep constantly saying to myself, right now I'm fine, I'm okay, this is okay, you know, it gets me through it. And then generally, like in the beginning, I would never look out the window at takeoff. And now I always look out the window, because I want to see where I'm going. And that was one of the most amazing things to me, I think, in that first new flight, as I call it, the one I had in last April, which was just flying over Nantucket and actually see, or Martha's Vineyard, one of the islands, and actually seeing the outline of the island and going, wow, you know, all these wonders that I was exposed to that I had been hiding from all of these years or trying to avoid. Right. And, you know, if I was still trying to hold on, I probably wouldn't have looked out the window or, you know, and now that's all I do is I just look out the window and try to figure where I am. And, yeah, it's great.
Did you use a therapist to help overcome this fear? Or did you just kind of trudge through it?
I trudged through it on my own. I mean, I've certainly read a lot about phobias and fears, and I have some pretty strange phobias. Like, I can't touch matches, which is not a bad fear to have. So, you know, the idea of touching a cigarette pack makes me cringe. I just feel, it makes me feel dirty. So weird phobias like that. And, you know, so I tried reading about all of that stuff and it didn't seem like anything was going to work. So I just said, I'm going to do this. And, I did it. And then, so I did it that time. And then I got laid off. Fortunately, I got laid off with a fairly nice severance. So thank you to my old boss. I was able to fly back to Florida and see my sisters, which was a gift in itself because I hadn't seen one sister, I think, in about, I think it was like 6 years. So I was really excited for that. Had a great time, came home, had already found a job by that point. And, got back to work and then started thinking about, here I am. I have all these advantages of being able to fly and I have this time and I have this little extra money. So, and I really wanted to do something more than what my job working in retail was offering. So I looked into becoming a health coach, and it's always been something I've been interested in because I have, throughout the years, gone through my own personal journey as far as my health and wellness is concerned. And, you know, having someone there to help you with it is always, as you know, No Fear Project, it's, you know, it's so meaningful. So I said, I'm going to sign up and become a health coach. I had already done some nutrition research and things like that. And so I looked into this program, which I never would have been able to do, because one of the things that you have to do, you have to be there, is you have to do an on-site 4-day visit in Minnesota. And well, there's no way I would ever drive to Minnesota. Because my vision isn't great. So here I was. It was assigned to me. It was like, I can fly now. So booked a flight, got on the flight for that. I remember that voice coming at me and I was just like, just get over it. And, the voice kept, you know, getting louder. And I said, nope. I'm here now. I'm already here. The plane's taken off. Here we go. And yep, looked out the window. I won't lie. When you get to 10,000 feet and the bell rings, I was a little more relieved because I knew, oh, we're at cruising altitude or not cruising altitude, but, the plane can, what's the word? The plane can man, you can, they can steer the plane at that altitude is what I've been told. So that's always keeping me going.
Yeah.
The realities of things.
I do think that most problems are at takeoff or landing for the most part.
Yeah. And it's funny because landing has never bothered me. I've always loved that. I think it's, you know, before it was like, oh, we're here. I'm so close. And now, again, it's just like, oh, this is the world I can see. But, you know, the funny thing is 6 months before that first flight, I had a knee replacement. I went into the hospital. I had this major surgery. Was actually in the hospital longer because I had a reaction to one of the medications and needed like 4 infusions. And during all of it, and I couldn't take the painkillers. That was the other thing. During all of it, I was like, oh, this is what it is. It's fine. I was never nervous. I was never nervous about having the surgery. And, you know, and yet I couldn't get on a plane. And so everybody's fear is different. Everybody's fear is unique. And I think that's the same way with how you conquer it. But if you have people who are there for you to listen to you and to root for you, like those ladies did, I think that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're bringing up some really interesting points about how you kind of couch fear in your own life. And yeah, you know, we use the hashtag, you know, time to conquer. The time to conquer is now. It's just the easy way to say conquer your fear, right? It's an easy kind of way to do it. But more importantly, and I think what you're alluding to is accepting the fear, accepting it,
right,
feeling it, embracing it, and then kind of inviting it along for the ride, no pun intended. And when you do that, when the fear is just a mere passenger on your life flight, then you've got control because you're the pilot. So
right.
you can steer that fear. However, what you don't want to let it do is storm the cockpit. So, you know, you just can't let it have control. And so I did not intend to do all these flying metaphors, but if you don't let that happen, now other parts of life start to open up. And my guess is that once you overcome this, life's a little bit brighter, right? Because there's more possibilities, and maybe you start seeing possibilities elsewhere. And it sounds like, whether that was intentional or not, it sounds like your life kind of took that turn where you're able to capitalize on opportunities in seeing something like a job layoff, which can be devastating, as an opportunity to go and explore something else you're interested in.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I remember my district manager saying, "You're unusually calm." I thought she was thinking I was going to come back with a AK-47 or something, but I was like, no, I just, you know, it's a shock to the system. But to me, it was like, oh, finally a change. And I think that's what I needed. And I think I needed that because I had developed this new way of thinking. Like you said, you don't conquer it, but you find new ways of dealing with it. And it changes the way you think about other things so that you move on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and so during this time you're flying, so then you fly to Minnesota to do this health coach. Is it like a particular organization that certifies, or?
Yeah, it's Mayo Clinic.
Oh, wow.
Which was intimidating in itself, because I had talked to a woman who went through the program who is like on fire. This woman, she's just got more energy. She's also, you know, much younger than me, but, you know, she told me, oh yeah, you'll meet the most interesting people. I met these doctors, you know, when I was thinking, I'm going like, hey, you know, I don't know that much, but when I got there, you know, that was fearful in itself. And I got there and I walked in and, you know, it was one of the best moments of my life. Last year was the best year ever, as I always say, because so much changed, so much opened up. And I think it was just changing my mind.
The life often allows us to have those kinds of years. We don't always capitalize, though. What do you think it was that made it so that you saw each of those opportunities and were able to capitalize?
I wish I knew. I always say, I always fall back on this idea of sisu, which is a Finnish saying. My grandmother was Finnish. And sisu is sort of like this Finnish belief that there is an inner strength, a power within you to work through some of the worst times and come through it. And so I embraced that theory. And I've looked back in my past and some of the things that I've endured and thought, yeah, my sisu got me through this. So I think in some way, having a power you believe in, because I'm a godless heathen myself. But, you know, all the power to anybody who believes in whatever they believe in, to get them through, because I think that guiding force is what keeps you going.
I like that a lot. Being open to change and understanding that you can't just coast through. You've got to have some sort of resilience, like you've called it, or I'm sorry, I have no idea what that Finnish term is, but I cannot wait to look it up now.
Sisu.
Sisu. All right. So I definitely will be looking that up to understand it better. But when you're open to it, and now you've kind of overcome a fear at the, you know, within that year, so much is now kind of opened up. And I relate to the flying one in a way. I've never been afraid to fly necessarily. I'm super anxious about getting to the airport early. I'm always paranoid I'm going to miss a flight. So I make my wife and kids get to the airport like the day before. It's super annoying, I'm sure. But I got one time at Midway, I was going on a business trip, and they pretty much take off in anything at Midway. And we went up and there was ice on the wings, and it was terrifying, and we had to come right back down and land. But it was not an easy landing. And it freaked out a lot of passengers. And I was on a window, and in between me and the aisle, just to get off the plane, were two very large brothers. And they were petrified, would not move. And all kinds of stuff happened. I'm not sure what and why, but I was told I had to stay there and until they could calm them. And you know, kind of get them to move or whatever. And I don't even, it's all kind of hazy because I don't like being trapped. I'm kind of, that's the part of flying that I don't like is the being trapped. So yeah. I was trapped. And so ever since then, I won't fly unless I'm on an aisle, but the flying itself doesn't bother me. But if I'm not on an aisle, it is not pretty. It's really a difficult, talk about breathing exercises. You know, I probably should have medication to calm myself, but I've been able to get through it the very few times it's happened. But I'm very cautious about how I book a flight because of that now. But at the same time, I don't let it hold me back. I love to travel. I love to go see places. I can't wait for us to get over this virus and have the world kind of figure out when we can start going places again, because I can't wait. Like, I got to imagine there's going to be such a pent-up demand for travel. It's going to be insane.
Oh, especially when you have canceled tickets just waiting for you.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was just the whole Minnesota thing was amazing. And then had the opportunity to go to stay in Ireland for free. And so I said to my husband, want to go to Dublin for the weekend?
Wow.
So we went to Dublin for the weekend, and it was wonderful. We didn't do anything, really. We just sort of walked around and saw the city. Really got to know Dublin. And, you know, I'd love to go back and see the rest of the country. So.
That's fantastic. Well, I love how it's just opened up the world, you know, for you now, outside of whatever drive you were willing to make. from the Boston area there. So, I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah. And, yeah, just to have more goals. So I'm just a couple of months away from getting my certification as a health coach, and I'm studying to be a chef coach, which is you help people, with cooking techniques and doing all the things that maybe they don't have the experience with and need a helping hand with. And then, just moving forward, just keep going. Cause like I said, my biggest fear is not doing anything with this gift that I've been given. So.
That's fantastic. The health coaching stuff I'm fascinated by. So, I'll probably bend your ear on this off air a little bit more, just because I think it's just a fascinating path, and I love that it's through Mayo. It's gotta be pretty steeped in some science and data.
Yeah.
And I love that stuff because I'm a nerd. So.
Yeah. Gotta love science. No, I mean, when you look back, like even 10 years ago, there were studies out, but now those studies have like quadrupled on the effects of health coaching to the point where now insurance companies are starting to see the benefit in it. So if anyone's considering it, I would suggest checking out a health coach. They can help you realize what your goals are and help you get there.
Yeah, maybe you could define that real quick. Like how do you define health coaching? How do they define it?
It's basically the coach is a facilitator for the client, and the client is pretty much in the driver's seat. The client might say, oh, I want to lose weight. And then so we ask the question, well, why? What is your why to why you want to lose weight? Well, I want to be healthy. Well, why is it important to be healthy now? And they'll say, well, my kids are getting older and I've gotten some bad health news in that I can turn around, but, I really want to be able to, you know, dance at my daughter's wedding and help my, you know, watch my son graduate from medical school or something, you know, and it just sort of cascades from there. You just keep asking why, what is important to you? So that we can really condense down what the meaning behind this goal is. So that it's like another force that you look towards and say, this is going to keep me going, you know, and you're more likely to stick with a goal if you have a genuine purpose that you've designed yourself to get there, than otherwise just being told, do this, do that, and, you know, and then when you're done, it all falls apart again, which I have done several times. So
that makes sense.
So once
they conquer their, like once they kind of figure out their why, is there then a program behind it, or do you just help them kind of?
We set up little goals.
Okay.
Yeah. So we set up small goals that are smart. So that's, I'm not going to be able to think of any of the words right now. Measurable, effective, time activated, relatable, and I forget what the S is.
Usually it's specific.
Specific, yes, that's it. Yeah, well, I don't take the test for another 3 months.
There you go.
But at any rate, so you work towards those goals, and they're small. And, you know, sometimes they're achievable, sometimes they're not. We talk about why that didn't work, and then we try to find something that does work. And we continue going through what does work and what can help you move forward. You know, sometimes it's just helpful to have someone there who says, you know, tell me how you're feeling. And, you know, and having someone say, it's really hard right now. And then you, you know, as a coach, I would say, yes, it is really hard right now. I can hear it in your voice. What can we do to make it easier? So that you can start to look outside of that box of it's just too hard and overwhelming right now. So that maybe we can open a window in that box. If there's a window in a box, I don't know. I hope that makes some sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, weight has become, unintentionally, has kind of become a subject, and overall health and wellness is, you know, mental health and physical health often go hand in hand. So I'm not surprised that we've kind of gotten to this point, especially with some of the people in the group having come from, you know, they've met me through athletic things online or what have you. So I'm not super surprised, but it's been been very interesting. And in a couple of weeks, I think I mentioned this on my talk with John Harris last week. In a couple of weeks, I go up to Milwaukee, and actually next week, better prepare a little bit, and talk to somebody who's an expert in the field on the food side, registered dietitian, and having a talk about kind of fears and food and weight loss. And I mean, it goes into the health coaching, right? Because a lot of us have just fears around that subject area. So having somebody to lean on is really important.
Right. Right. And a health coach will work in tandem with a nutrition coach or a nutritionist, because a health coach will tell you right off the bat, I'm not a nutritionist. I can't talk about nutrition. I can talk about food. And especially as a chef coach, I can talk about things like, you know, well, you want to get more fruits and vegetables into your diet. This is how you do it. You know, things like that. As far as a nutritionist goes, they'll tell you what you should avoid, what, you know, what works for you. They'll look at your numbers, and they have the science behind it. We're more of the mindset behind it.
Do you always have a team, or is it up to the individual?
No, it's up to the individual. I find the more support someone has, the better people do. You know, it's a support system. Just as the No Fear Project is a support system. You know, we always say to each other, we're here for you. You know, feel free, you know, to come here and say what you need to say. And, you know, sometimes that makes all the difference in the world. So, you know.
Absolutely. Well, this was a much bigger subject, you know, that we got into on top of the fear of flying, which I think this might be like kind of the first quote unquote everyday fear that we've really talked about in detail. So I appreciate this very, very much. I'm so glad you were able to come on.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for listening to me ramble.
Oh, no, not at all. It's been great. Anything, anything else you wanted to share with us before we sign off?
Support the No Fear Project. It's a worthy project. And, you don't have to do a lot, just a little. Do what you can. That's my motto.
Absolutely. Well, the number one thing right now people could do is just share the podcast with others that you think might get benefit out of it. Or even if they might not, just share it with them anyway. And leave a rating and review. And that goes a very, very long way. So, to you and our producer friends and other patrons, we really appreciate it. So it's been a fun project, and I've learned a ton, and I hope others are getting something out of it too. I know the group is definitely still very strong. So thanks so much.
No, it's really opened my eyes and made me think a lot about how I perceive fear.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I learned a lot about Deva in this episode and want to thank her again for coming on the program. I'm thrilled she can get on a plane and go places now. It also gives me so much hope to hear Deva talk about having the best year of her life, even as she faced so many challenges. Absolutely amazing. All right, let's wrap up this episode. I want to thank our patrons, especially our producers, Deva Sylvia, the Money, Motivation, and Motherhood podcast, and the Endurance for Everyone podcast. Your continued support is really appreciated. And as always, remember, the way forward is together. The time to conquer is now.
Thank you for listening to the No Fear Project. Original music is from Josh and Dean. Join us on social media by searching the No Fear Project on Facebook and Instagram. Check out thenofearproject.com for more information, including in-person presentations on fear customized for your organization. The No Fear Project is committed to helping those with mental illness get help and to defeating the stigma. If you have any thoughts of harming yourself or suicide, please contact the Suicide Prevention Hotline for help now at 800-273-8255. Remember, you are not alone. The No Fear Project is a production of Paragon Media, all rights reserved.